The mega-hyped Broadway musical Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, has been plagued with problems. Four actors have been injured on the set of the Julie Taymor-directed production, most recently on Monday when a Spider-Man stunt double fell more than 20 feet, almost 30, in fact, during the final moments of the show. He remains in serious condition. The most expensive Broadway show in history, $65 million, and canceled its performances yesterday to address safety concerns on the set. The rest of Broadway isn't immune to the troubles. One statistic says it all. Every Broadway musical that opened this fall will close by January. David Cody, theater editor for Time Out New York, and Elizabeth Vincentelli, chief theater critic at the New York Post, are here with the latest on what ails Broadway. We couldn't have two better experts. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Thanks, Jamie.
So what is up with Spidey? I'm going to start with you, Elizabeth. What's going on? Let's just start with that problem alone.
Well, mayhem is what's going on. As you said, the show has been plagued with problems. It's had the longest technical rehearsal period of any show. It's a very tech-heavy show. It's going to have, by the time it opens in February, if it does open, it will have 10 weeks of rehearsal, which is the most ever. And it's been in the news all the time. It's an interesting thing to follow for us in theater.
All right. We have a caller who was actually at the Monday performance. So we got to hold the phones, but that's precisely what we don't want to do. So let's take Harvey in Manhattan. Harvey, you're on WMYC with David and Elizabeth, two of New York's top theater critics. You go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I was there Monday night. It was my birthday, and I bought the tickets in October. And it was really upsetting. I didn't know how long the show would last, but I found out it would have probably ended in about 10 minutes, and it's the part of the second act where the love interests, Spider-Man and Mary Jane, are singing a song, and then the lights went dark, and I assume that's because another special effect was to take place where the stuntman who plays Spider-Man, or one of the stuntmen, I should say, was to fly over the orchestra. And the next thing you heard was this amazing shriek of a woman. So at that point, the friend that I was with, we both thought that somehow the Mary Jane character had fallen, and then as I found out later, it was that the stuntman, his tether had separated from his costume. The tether fell into the audience, not very far from where we were sitting in the orchestra, and that stuntman fell, as you said, Jamie, 20 to 30 feet down into, I believe, a trap door of a kind on the stage, and within minutes, within 30 seconds, actually, they made an announcement, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be a slight pause in the production, and then 3 or 4 minutes later, the lights went on in the whole theater, and then a minute later, they announced this performance of Spider-Man has been concluded. Then I got online to pick up my coat that I had checked, and then they announced that the theater was closed and to please exit as soon as possible from the nearest exit, and I believe that was because in just those 6 or 7 minutes, two ambulances and the fire department had showed up, and they probably wanted to, scan the entire theater empty of people. So it was really a very upsetting experience, and I feel terrible for the performer himself, the stuntman, I should say, and also the people who are in that cast. It must be, a little scary to go to work every day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the incident that Harvey talks about, we all know about it, of course, and we also can see some video, as anyone who's gone to the Times, and maybe on YouTube for all I know, there's actual audience, cell phone video of this thing happening, it's 5 or 10 seconds long, and you see Christopher Tierney, the stuntman actor guy, his tether separating and him falling into the pit, and it's kind of terrifying. You're like, I don't want to see snuff videos from Broadway.
No.
You know?
No. Harvey, how spectacular was the show in terms of the stunt portions of the show before this horrible incident?
To be quite honest, not that spectacular. The reality is that they have figured out a way to have stunt men and perhaps even women fly from off the stage over the orchestra and land on what I assume would be considered either the mezzanine or the balcony. I'm not really sure of the architecture of the Foxwood Theater. And so I can't fault them for that. But, you know, that's about it. That is the stunt. That's the technical part of it that is being hyped. The story itself needs a lot of work. And I also felt, and I sat through it all with an open mind and a willingness to really be entertained, that it took me well into the second act to get what I think is Julie Taymor's vision, which is this is a comic book brought to live theater.
Yeah.
And that's a long time to get to that vision. No, I'm being honest with
yes,
you.
Yes, I chuckle only because of your honesty. You're supremely honest. And it sounds as though it was a very, very difficult experience for you. Has it changed your feeling about Broadway in general? Has it soured you on the Broadway experience? Maybe
no,
it's too soon to ask the question.
I'm sorry?
Is it too soon to ask the question?
No. I love theater. I live in Manhattan. I actually live in Hell's Kitchen within walking distance to a lot of shows. I don't know. And again, this is just a presumption, and maybe it's a question your guests are qualified to answer. I wonder how much of this involves greed, because it just, you know, I'm looking at the program. I'm sitting in my living room, and I have the program opened. And the front page where they give you, you know, the names of the cast and all, everybody's in small type. It looks like there must be 20 or 25 people involved in producing this.
Well, Harvey, I'm going to let my guests answer that question. They're looking at each other. If you could see their faces. All right, Elizabeth, first to you. How much of this involves greed?
Well, actually, honestly, I don't think all that much.
Oh.
If producers want to make a lot of money quickly, going with the Julie Taymor extravaganza is really not the way to go. You do something, you put your money in something like Elf, you put your money in something like Pee Wee or Driving Miss Daisy with like Safe and Sound Stars. You don't put your money. In fact, they had a really hard time raising money. They ran out of cash for a while. They had to look for other investors. It was a really difficult proposition. And I really think a lot of people, I mean, of course they want to make money, but I think it's really like a long-term thing. This is going to be, they're in ink for the long haul. So I don't think it's, of course, I mean, producers are not philanthropists.
And so for folks who don't know her work, this is the Lion King producer, great track record, very successful, very creative, a visionary. If it's not greed, then what is it?
Well, it's you could say, artistic hubris. Julie Taymor is an amazing world-class director who gave us The Lion King and has had an amazing career in opera. She directed a beautiful production of The Magic Flute at the Met. In some ways, I've been thinking about this, but yes, it's a huge budget. It's $65 million. But I keep thinking about how if I eventually go to review this show, it's going to be almost like going to off Broadway, because there you have a case where they don't have enough money. So perhaps what you're seeing is artistically not fully realized. They couldn't get the right set or actors.
Interesting point.
Whereas here they have an excess of money. I mean, it's not limitless. But at the same time, I might be seeing something that still has not achieved its artistic vision.
Fascinating
because
point.
They have so many options with so much money, and maybe the ambition is exceeding what's possible.
Now here's what Lenore says, and then Elizabeth, pardon me, I do want to hear your comment, but this follows right up on what David is saying. This show and all its troubles are the epitome of everything that is wrong with Broadway right now. It all started with Les Mis. This show belongs in a circus, not on Broadway, which is actually supposed to be about plays, musical or non-musical. Why do some people think that the more spectacular the effects, the better the show?
Well, listen, I think this kind of argument was thrown at Florence Ziegfeld, the great producer of the 30s, because he was doing crazy stuff and spending a lot of money. I think this is very much part of Broadway. Why not be ambitious? Why not dream crazy dreams? Well, of course, you know, I mean, I think we would think about Avatar a lot differently if it had made $2 million at the box office. Now, of course, we all think it's genius, or at least very successful, but this could be the same. I think ambition is great, and if you have the deep pockets to pay for it, why not?
Well, I guess some of the stars and the folks who work on the set, the stage crew, and even makeup artists, et cetera, are saying, why not? Because someone got hurt. Maybe we're going just a little too far with cabling people 30 feet
well,
into
listen,
the air.
Well, listen, I don't hear any of this kind of objection to Cirque du Soleil. They do stuff that's a lot more dangerous, and they have tons of productions playing all over the world at the same time. I can't I find it hard to believe that no Cirque du Soleil production has ever had a big injury. They do. It's a different set of expectations, I think. And I think if you think about Spider-Man, like not like a Broadway musical like Oklahoma, but like a Cirque du Soleil thing, well, it's a whole different set of reference.
David?
Well, it's hard enough to turn, I mean, not to get it off the track, but I mean, obviously Julie Taymor is trying to create something new. Maybe it's a combination of rock opera, Cirque du Soleil type circus acts, and Broadway musicals. I mean, it's hard enough to turn a comic book into a good movie, much less a stage play.
But it's bigger than just Spider-Man. Broadway is suffering. Across the board, all these shows closing before January.
Well,
Merchant of Venice is doing very well. I have to admit, I've seen it several times. Mm-hmm. It's fabulous. And that's what? Shakespeare, hundreds of years old.
That's Al Pacino, actually.
So is it all about Star Wattage?
Yes, it is. The two shows that had limited runs but are actually extending a little bit are Driving Miss Daisy and Merchant of Venice, both of which are star-driven.
What does that say?
That says that you get a brand name, you get a big star, and you'll sell out. Even a very mediocre play such as A Steady Rain, which had Daniel Craig and Hugh Jackman, sold out.
All right, let's take three calls. I'm going to tell my callers that we're very tight on time, so every person gets just a few seconds to say what they have to say. Everybody gets their word with our theater critic. Sam in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Go right ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say two things. First of all, there is too much star-driven and comic book-driven material that's on Broadway for my taste. The movies are for the movies. I believe Broadway should be for something theatrical. And I think it's a little bit ridiculous to compare this to Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil does not put on shows where there are four injuries and they keep putting the show on. Those are professionals who know how to rig. And as a performer myself, I just find it shameful that the whole thing wasn't shut down after one injury, let alone after two.
And we should say these folks are all in the industry. Thank you very much for that call and for your comment. Ralph in Manhattan is an actor on Broadway. Ralph, go right ahead. You're on WNYC.
Yes, an ill-conceived, self-indulgent. You know, theater is meant to move. One should leave the theater with an experience behind him that they have to think about afterwards, not a spectacle that you can get with in a circus. If you want to go to a circus, go to a circus. If you want to go see a story with something that's going to actually affect you, then that's where the theater comes into play. And the reason why Shakespeare, the Merchant, is doing so well is, I believe, because it's something that never dies. Shakespeare will live forever, and it's not just Pacino. It's because it's a story worth seeing.
All right, and John in Paramus, New Jersey, you're on WNYC with Elizabeth and David.
Yeah, it is a circus, and you should have circus performers, not actors and everything else. And I think the reviewers should go and break precedent and review the show, and it will die its death that it deserves.
Well, all right, now you each get a final word. I was going to ask you, should Spider-Man close, but that's not fair because you've not seen it. So a final word on the state of Broadway or on Spider-Man, whichever you prefer. David, Cody, first to you.
Oh, well, I guess I hope that it stays open long enough for us to review it. If all the critics pan this show, I don't necessarily think it will be the end of it. It's already, I mean, I always say that Spider-Man looks like it's going to be a hit before it's a flop, but I don't know if it will be a flop because everybody's talking about it. Everybody's, you know, they're doing great box office, so I don't know if the critics will matter at this case.
It might be the beginning. Elizabeth?
Well, I think for a healthy Broadway, there needs to be space for both Spider-Man-type shows and smaller plays. I don't see why they're mutually exclusive. There's room for everybody in there, and I have fun at both.
You like both?
Of course. I mean, why not? I love big spectacles and I love small plays. I love pretty much everything. That's why we go to the theater. It's not an either-or proposition. You can perfectly have fun at both. I really enjoy Legally Blonde on Broadway. Why not?
It's an important point.
And, and Merchant of Venice and everything in between.
There are theaters that go from 500 seats to about 1,800 to 2,000 seats.
That's why you two have the best jobs in the world. Thank you both, David Cody, theater editor for Time Out New York, and Elizabeth Vincentelli, chief theater critic for the New York Post. It was a treat to have you both on. I hope I get to talk with you again. Tomorrow on the program, Ryan Lehrer is back, sort of. We're bringing you a best of show on Friday. It's not to be missed. I'm Jamie Floyd. Have a wonderful holiday.